The United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education, presents The Reformer, a story of fellowship.
The tall, cadaverous man with fierce eyes is at his ease. He sits at his piano, fingering his beloved keys and sways his lean body to the tempo. There is a bit of gray streaking his temples, but he is young in 1876. At the age of 47, Karl Schurz, immigrant, native of Germany, has risen to be Secretary of Interior under President Hayes. The notes are soothing, yet Karl Schurz is again embroiled in conflict and problems. To the end of his days, he will be known as the Reformer, a man who pursues his ideals doggedly. What has his life been up to now? One way to find out is to hear what the private detective reported when asked to dig up dirt about him for a rival political party.
I'm afraid it's a dud.
Well, then he's sure to win the race for senator. No, well, we can always point to his foreign birth and make it an issue.
I hope you don't get angry, sir. I'm only a private detective. But if you run that one in, I don't think it will do any good. From what I know of him, this country would be a lot better off if we had some more like him. Foreign birth and all.
Think back, Carl. When was it that you played that Chopin Nocturne? It's coming back, isn't it, over the yellowed pages of a full calendar, back when the North and South were drenching the soil with blood. Remember the night at the big White House? You in your uniform of Major General, and the other man, even taller and thinner than yourself, with eyes that seemed to understand everything they saw? Remember?
That's beautiful, Carl. I mean, General.
Carl, Mr. Lincoln.
I'm happy you came to visit. Music makes me forget. I need to forget sometimes.
Well, I'll play another if you like.
Not now, thanks. You came up from the South to see me.
I have written you about the situation before. Now it is worse. I have reason to believe that many supplies never reach us.
What do you think is happening?
Mr. Lincoln, there is only one possibility. Before the supplies are turned over to the troops, they are sold at big profits along the route. I propose that we include some soldiers in the next convoy, dressed as civilians.
I'll see to it that the Quartermaster General is informed.
Thank you, sir.
Carl, I think you've been called many things in your life, but has anyone ever called you a watchdog? That's what you are.
This is the first time.
It's a compliment, I assure you. We need watchdogs, in war and out. I've enjoyed reading your reports from the front. You don't miss anything, do you? Behavior of officers, men, morale, ways of improvement.
I came to believe in the United States while I was a boy in Europe.
Were you alone?
There were many like me who grew to manhood with a shining picture of this country in front of us. We desired the same for Europe, but there was to be no compromising. If the law is free speech, then it was to be free speech, with no exceptions, ifs, ands, or buts. You know how it can be. Well, then I find myself here. And always I have tried to see the rights of the individual carried to their maximum.
You're the apostle of reform.
I'm proud of it.
Keep at it, Carl. We must be reminded constantly of our failures if we're to be successful in bestowing God's rights on individuals. Clamor for reform, and if we don't reach the ideal you've set for the country, at least we'll have come along the way. Never mind what the papers call you. If you're convinced of the justice of the fight, you can't help winning. I remember when you were senator and you fought the system of awarding government positions as payment to politicians. You were alone, but you won.
It was victory for the people.
When this dreadful war is over, then more than ever will the country need men like you. Carl, will you play some more for a tired man?
The trail is familiar now, Carl. See how it spins across the Atlantic, deep into Germany, to Berlin? It's a dark night. The stars are blacked out, and you're playing with sudden death.
Cut, Rudy. any more, Carl.
A little further. Then I can rest.
Yeah.
Here, lean on my arm more. That's it. All right. Behind that big tree. Now.
Why did you come back? It was foolish.
Do you think I would forget you? I was safe in France, but Helmuth, you mean as much to German freedom even more than I do.
Will they catch us? They will execute us both immediately.
They won't catch us. Men are waiting for us at the Swiss border. From there, I'll take you to England.
Oh, we shall never reach there.
I got you out of that prison, didn't I?
Yeah.
It was simple to bribe the guards.
Oh, but it is a long way to the Swiss border. I am old.
Another mile and there will be a carriage waiting for us. Force yourself to walk.
Oh, why delude ourselves? Our revolution for freedom is over. There is nothing left. It will be another time.
The dogs. Listen to me, Helmuth. No matter what happens, promise me you will not reap. Track even one word. Tyranny such as our people must endure cannot and must not be allowed to exist. If we fail the people, we have failed God himself.
I promise.
Now all we can do is wait and pray that they lose the trail in the river.
You made it to England, Carl, and from there to America, where you were billed as the German firebrand. For 3 years, it was hard going, watching every penny and wearing clothes full of patches. But you talked, and you took sides, and you wanted America to be what you thought it was like when you were a boy. Not the gold streets, but the infinitely more valuable freedoms and fine human relationships you dreamed about. You became a senator, and when the war broke out, you organized a division of German Americans and became their general. And now, Carl Schurz, you have reached the highest post any immigrant has ever scaled, Secretary of Interior. And with it came the troubles. As always, you're up to your neck in them, aren't you?
Mr. Secretary, the reporters are waiting.
You may send them in.
In here, gentlemen. I don't know. We'll put in the column if he has any.
Gentlemen, I will come quickly to the point. The country is distressed with the handling of various Indian tribes. It has a right to be so. Our Indian policy, to put it mildly, has been short-sighted, unjust, and stupid. Unscrupulous elements of our population have taken advantage of the Indian to a point where he can resort only to his savage instincts.
Mr. Secretary, are you laying the fault for the Indian disturbances on white men?
I am.
Well, when we put that on paper...
I have discovered in my department an Indian ring composed of grafters of various degrees of turpitude who have been allowed to exercise their own unscrupulous discretion in their negotiations with the red men. We are guilty of robbery. We have been uncivilized. Our sacred papers of freedom, the Declaration, and the Independence are a mockery if we allow the Indian to feel the full weight of injustice.
What do you propose doing about the Ponkas? You're the one who forced them to their new reservation.
That is a vicious lie. When I took office, the Ponca tribe had been ordered to a new location. I am merely carrying out the law. I say the law is unjust, but it is the law. The main objective of this department will be to absorb the Indians by legal means into the citizenry of the United States. And when this has been accomplished, to treat them in all respects like other inhabitants of the country. I have just issued an order to the Ponkas which allows them to set up their own police force.
Mr. Secretary, do I believe what I hear?
From now on, the Indians will arrest their own people who go outside the law. They will be furnished with weapons.
What? Then there won't be a white man who will be safe. You're encouraging bloodshed.
I believe in giving each person responsibility. I have faith that as the caliber of the Indian agents becomes higher, there will be little trouble.
You're putting guns into the hands of barbarians. Responsibility? The people will have your head for this.
Yes, Lipshin.
There is a man out there to see you from the office.
Must be important. It is late. All right. I'll see what he wants, and then I will resume. So it is you, Armstrong. Yes, well,
sir.
Then?
Bad news, sir. This dispatch just arrived.
You've read it?
Yes, sir.
Then tell me about it.
Well,
It seems that three punkers were accused of... Well, that is, they're alleged to have murdered a white setter and his wife.
No.
The three are somewhere in the reservation, or agent says, and... Well, he's waiting for them to be surrendered to him. He adds that he doesn't expect them to be, and that the vigilantes are organizing for a raid on the punkers. Shall I telegraph a reply, sir?
No.
Shall I inform the newspapermen of the incident?
You'd better. And schedule a press meeting at 10 tomorrow morning. I want to get it over with.
Evidently, the Indians and their big white father don't see eye to eye, do they, Mr. Secretary?
What are your plans when you leave the cabinet? Going to take up farming?
If you men
will... Mr. Secretary.
Can it be?
Another telegram. Here, read it.
Hmm. Oh, thank God. You men are about to hear my statement of resignation. Now, I will tear it up. This wire has just come in from the reservation. I quote, three suspects surrendered by Chief Standing Bear. Chief refutes charges but has deep trust in you behind this act. Asks for impartial trial for his braves. Also presented $322.20 gathered from tribe. Money to be used for expert attorney. People here amazed yet pleased. More later.
Oh, what a story this will be.
Need any more be said? There is no one in the West today who wants and covets law and order more than the Indian. I think that today's action marks the end of the vigilantes and those who would take the law into their own hands. Are there any questions? None? Then I must go back to work. How did it happen that I, a poor youth from a foreign country, could be taken to the bosom of America and rise in her councils to such a position? Ah, but it is no wonder, for that is the miracle of America, where a man stands on his worth. And what have I given and what shall I give in return in my appreciation? I will fight to my last breath to bolster the freedoms and rights that are guaranteed to every American. I will never let the people forget that they too must be on guard to protect them. Let them call me a reformer. It is a proud title, for with every victory we come nearer the ideals of liberty that the founding fathers had in mind. And should I ever falter or hesitate in my devotion, there is a voice in my heart to remind me.
Clamor for reform, and if we don't reach the ideal you set for the country, at least we will have come along the way. If you're convinced of the justice of the fight, you can't help but win.
The Reformer was written by Steve Allen and produced by Will Scott. Those of the cast were Clayton Post as Carl Schurz, Dave Ormont, Bob Young, Ben Wright, Howard Culver, Jack Carroll, Bud Whittem, and Marion Richmond. Your announcer is Bill Stewart. This is the United States Armed Forces Radio Service, the voice of information and education.